From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the sixth day of June 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson here in Champaign, Illinois. A bit later in the program, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated will be along to talk about the agricultural weather forecast. We'll discuss cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. And then a very special interview with investor Jim Rogers. I spoke to him from his home in Singapore last evening. He has some great things to say about agriculture. It should be a magnificent show, so stay with us for this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. You can find us online at willag.org.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's a Wednesday afternoon. Here are the final trades in the electronic at 2 o'clock Central Time today from the CME Group in Chicago. July wheat at 620 and a quarter, up 7 cents for the day. September futures there, 636, up 5 and a half. The hard red on a settlement price at 655 in Kansas City was up 17. The last trade for the electronic in Chicago for the corn pit in the July futures at 584 and a half, up 17 cents. September at 526 and three quarters, up 10 and three quarters. And December futures, $5.18, up 10 and a quarter. March contract, 529 and a half. The last trade up 10 and a half cents. And May of next year at 538 and a half, up 11 and a half. July at 546 and three quarters, 11 and a quarter higher. December futures at 527 and a half for 2013, up 12 and a half cents. On the final trade in the afternoon for the electronic at 2 o'clock Central Time. July bean futures, 1384, up 34 and a half. August at 1363, up 30 and a half. September 1328 and three quarters, up 26 and a quarter, and November beans at $12.95, up 18. January at $13 and three quarters of a cent, up 21 and a quarter, and the July futures there at 1266 and a half, up 13 and a half. Bean meal at 414.10, up $14.10. July bean oil at 49.20, up 70 on the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the August at 119.30, a dime higher, and the feeders at 159.25, and the September's down 75 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like. At this hour, crude oil futures for the day, July at $85.04 a barrel, up 75 cents. Ethanol at $2.06, 2 9/10 of a cent higher. Natural gas at $2.43 3/10, a penny and 3/10 lower. The heating oil or diesel fuel up 3 8/10 at $2.67 1/10 of a cent. And the gold futures in the June contract, a settlement price up $17.60 for the afternoon at $1,632.80 an ounce. The U.S. dollar is down 0.47 at 82.323, and the CRB index at 273.7. That's up 3.39 on the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. They say mostly sunny skies, a high of 77 degrees on an east-northeast wind at about 9 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly clear, a low of 54 degrees on a northeast wind at 3 to 8 miles an hour. And then for Thursday, mostly sunny and a high near 80 degrees on Thursday afternoon. And Thursday evening, mostly clear and a low of 56 degrees with a north wind at 6 miles an hour. It'll turn to the south-southeast. Friday, a sunny sky and 83 degrees, a south-southwest wind at 3 to 10. Friday night, mostly clear and a low of 62. Saturday, sunny, a high of 87 degrees. Saturday night, mostly clear and 67. On Sunday, sunny skies and 89 degrees. Sunday night, partly cloudy and 70. Monday, mostly sunny and 87. Monday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low of 68. And showers and thunderstorms could continue into Tuesday with a partly sunny sky and a high of 82 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast. When we get to the bottom of the half hour, we'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets is Jackie Veck. She's at Stuart Peterson in Champaign. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon. How are you?
I am doing very well. Was the trade in Chicago excited or dull for the day?
Well, you could say that they were pretty excited. There's no question about that. We have not had a nice day of very supportive outside markets for a while. The Eurozone, of course, was quiet as we waited to see what the European Central Bank was going to say. And when they came out and kept the interest rate at 1% and made it very clear that they expect the politicians to take care of the euro crisis, that they're not going to follow the U.S. example and do anything too crazy, you know, that, I guess, gave some comfort to the market. Germany is talking a lot about a growth plan now rather than a bailout. We're also hearing them talk about, renewing talk about having a banking union, which would actually have all 17 countries share in whatever the cost is to bail somebody out or to help when they have bank failures. So there's a lot of things going on there. And I think one of the other very supportive things today was China. People's Bank of China came out and they said, you know, that it should adjust rates accordingly so that it boosts confidence in their economy and that it doesn't start to stymie their economic growth. Those are all positives for the commodity market.
So the positives were that the European Union looks like it's going to hold together or has a step towards holding together, making some announcements, at least in that case. And if they are more economically bound to each other, I suppose the marketplace thinks that's safer than shelling off Greece and then Spain and Italy and whatever else the Eurozone might get rid of, right?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, there's a lot of concerns because right now they're very worried about Spain's financial strength, although Spain has not stepped forward and asked for any help to actually keep their banks solvent. But they just aren't sure that Spain, which is the fourth largest economy over there, has the wherewithal to be able to shield the lenders. Their greatest losses are coming similar to what we had in 2008 from property losses.
What are your suggestions at this point to producers who are looking at a crop right now that looks to be in pretty good shape and is, at least for corn and probably soybeans in the Midwest, and now we've got a little pop in the marketplace, up a dime in the corn, 30 cents in the soybeans?
Well, what we've been doing is going out, actually, and my position is, we'd like to see everybody covered 100% between their cash sales and using options because there are just way too many questions about this crop moving forward. And so at this time, we've been covering things, covering out into the March contract with the idea that whatever they're going to store in the March, we've already had the December covered for anything that had to be sold at harvest time. And we're doing the same thing in beans. When we got up into the $13 level, we did some $13.20 put protection. Just with the idea, I really think that November beans are one of those things that's on a tipping point. We could see beans go down to $12.50. We could see beans go to $14.50. But so much of that depends on the acreage that's going to come out at the end of the month. And that doesn't mean we might not go back to $12.50 and then end up at $14.50. But the idea of risk management is to prepare yourself for a market that may go lower as well as a market that's going to go higher. And so that's what we're doing, just getting people into positions that give them opportunity to the upside as well as protection to the downside.
Of course, at the end of the month, we have the acreage and grain stocks report. But between then and now, next week, we have another WASDE or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate. Sometimes those monthly reports aren't particularly important. Others, they mean a lot. Will this one be a market mover or not?
Well, I'd probably be pretty foolish to call it not a market mover when you look at how many. So I don't think I'm going to step into that pond.
Okay.
I think that people will be looking very closely to see if the USDA makes any changes to the feed usage. We've seen the ratio between wheat and corn certainly widen, and the implications are there that we might feed less wheat and more corn, and we're actually hearing that the Asian users are already doing that. So I think that's going to be one of the number one things that they'll be looking for. It won't be a pop and an excitement, perhaps, like we might see others. We'll quickly turn our attention to what's going to happen at the end of the month with the acreage and the grain stocks report.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the afternoon?
Well, I think it's interesting, Todd. I hate to say it, but we had such a beautiful day today, and Ben Bernanke is going to come out and talk tomorrow. I call him the kiss of death, and so we'll see once it follows through because there's so much expectation that he may actually enact QE3 again, and I just don't think he's going to do it. We did see an increase in the unemployment rate and less jobs than what we thought, but we still have not dropped below 2% on the on our overall GDP. And so we may just have some real disappointment tomorrow in this market, so be prepared.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That is Jackie Veig. She's with Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Joins us on the Closing Market Report for Wednesday afternoon.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Last evening, I spoke with American investor Jim Rogers from Singapore. Rogers is the chairman of the Rogers Holding and Beeland Interest Incorporated Groups. He was the co-founder, of course, of Quantum Fund with George Soros, and he created the Rogers International Commodities Index. He's been really high on agriculture for more than a year. I wanted to know why. So we talked for about 9 minutes last night. Rogers was on his exercise bike. We had a Skype conversation. It was a little unique to watch him riding the bike from his home in Singapore, but it's a really good interview. I hope you enjoy it. First of all, you last year said that agriculture was one of those places that you thought was a good investment. Do you still believe that is the case today?
Absolutely. Agriculture is going to be one of the best economic sectors for the next 10, 20, 30 years. It's been a disaster for 30 years. As you know, now we have, you know, the average age of farmers in America is 58, 59. That's very bullish for anybody who's in the business and can survive.
So in large part, you're suggesting that the good bullish side of it is that there will be so many fewer producers around in order to take advantage of production?
Well, yes. Inventories worldwide on a historic basis are low for nearly all agricultural products. In the 80s, inventories to consumption were about 35% or so. Now it's down in the low teens, last time I looked anyway. You know, this has been a terrible business for 30 years. The average age of farmers in Japan is 66. In India, hundreds of thousands of farmers have committed suicide. The highest rate of suicide in the UK is in agriculture. You know, in Australia, the average age is 58. In Canada, farmers are the oldest in recorded history. So nobody, you know, Todd, more people have studied physical education than studied agriculture in American universities. More people have studied public relations than studied agriculture. We have huge shortages of people coming into the business, and that's going to mean that prices have to go much higher in order to attract labor, capital, management. I mean, this is going to be a very exciting business.
Well, why is it that agriculture differs? And I think I understand this, but maybe you can give me some insight. Why is it that agriculture might differ from the automobile industry, which simply mechanized the process?
Agriculture will mechanize. There will continue to be technological advances. There's no question about that. And you know as well as I do, seeds, fertilizers, machines, technology, everything makes huge advances. But somebody still has to go into the fields. In 10 years, Todd, those farmers are going to be 68 if they're still alive, 76 in Japan, etc. You've got to have somebody pushing the buttons, if nothing else, and somebody going into the fields. The same thing happened with oil in the 60s, 1960s. In the 1960s, you could not drill offshore. Maybe on the beach you could drill, but you couldn't drill offshore. you couldn't drill more than, what was it, those 2,500 feet, 2,000 feet in those days. Along came staggering technological advances. You could drill 30,000 feet. Hughes came up with a diamond drill bit. You could drill fast, efficient. You could drill in the middle of the North Sea. You could drill in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico. These were unbelievable technological advances in the 60s that people would have thought as recently as the 50s that it was science fiction. But it all happened. And the price of oil went up 10 times. That's not a typo. The price of oil went up 1,000% despite these technological advances, because there was no supply. Eventually, of course, we will have supply again. Eventually, they will plant cotton in Central Park. Eventually, everything will increase supply when prices go up. But until that happens, inventories are getting worse. Farmers are getting older. The return on equity is not high enough, not like it is in Facebook or something like that. Go over to the University of Illinois and ask them how many people study agriculture now compared over the past 50 years.
When you put into context agriculture for today with what's happening in Europe and Asia and the economic slowdown, can you remain as bullish short-term as you are long-term?
Well, short-term, I don't know much about. If there's a bumper crop worldwide this year, prices will be under pressure. If Spain suddenly goes bankrupt, or somebody, there's a huge economic shock to the system, everything's going to go down. But I'm talking about over the next decade or two or three. I mean, if that sort of thing happens, and I were a university student, I would double up and study more agriculture, because it just means the problem is going to be worse down the road rather than better. Because then more people will leave the business. Fewer people will study agriculture. These overall secular changes won't matter. In fact, will be promoted if prices do go down this year for whatever reason. If the price of corn collapses, everybody will say, see, it was a fad. It was a flash in the pan. Forget agriculture. And you will have even fewer people and less money going into agriculture. And the overall situation will get better, not worse.
So interestingly to me then, your advice at this point for young people is to look to agriculture as a career path because it seems so bright to you.
Absolutely. If you love farming, it's one of the best places to be. Todd, the stockbrokers are going to be driving taxis in the next decade. The smart ones will learn to drive tractors for the farmers, because the smart farmers are going to be driving Lamborghinis. That's where the money is going to be now. If you don't want to become a farmer, well, go into real estate in the Farm Belt. Get the Lamborghini dealership in Iowa. Start a chain of restaurants in the agricultural districts of America, of the world. Because that's where the money's going to be. And forget Wall Street. Forget the City of London. The future for the next 10, 20, 30 years is agriculture. Fortunes are going to be made. Get the John Deere dealership. I mean, there are many ways to do it.
Okay, Jim, one final question for you. And just give me a bio on yourself. Tell me about yourself and how you've come to where you are.
Well, not much to say. Where I am, I'm unemployed. I've been unemployed for 32 years. I haven't had a job since 1980. So, out of work. My bio is I'm out of work and been out of work for a long time. And I hope I stay out of work. Todd, if you hear that I've taken a job, you know something went wrong. I would like to become a farmer, but I don't think I'd be any good at it. you got to be smart, and it's a hard work being a farmer. I'm not smart, and I don't want to work hard anymore. So I'm going to stop because I'll fall off this bicycle. But you write me anytime, okay?
Oh, I will, Jim. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's famed investor Jim Rogers. I spoke to him via Skype from his home in Singapore.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgro on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270. Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. Michael Strasburger at the Andersons facility in Delphi, Indiana. That's Clymers, is on the phone line with us. Good afternoon to you, Michael. Thanks for taking the time with us. Producers calling in today and looking to make new sales at all?
Today's actually been a relatively quiet day, surprisingly. Given the strength in the market, we were expecting to be a little busier today.
You were able to divine why it was that producers didn't call in? Did they just not have the grain to sell to you for old crop or not satisfied with new crop pricing at this time?
You know, I think it's a combination. We talked to a lot of guys that are completely out, and I think a lot of people are just not satisfied with, you know, around the $5 cash for new crop. So I think it's a little bit of a combination.
Old crop bids have been really strong. Are you paying overs, and if so, how much of an overage?
For old crop?
Mm-hmm.
We are currently paying 44 over to our facility. Some of the other ethanol facilities are in the upper 40s to low 50s. We're relatively comfortable right now, but I think that, you know, the July-August period could be very interesting in terms of basis, so.
It could be extraordinarily interesting, I suppose, especially if producers are already telling you they're out of old crop. Will you have new crop availability relatively quickly in the month of August, do you think?
I think a lot of that depends on the weather. You know, if we continue to have relatively good weather and no setbacks for this crop, I think we could have, you know, some September, I don't know about August corn, though. I think that might be pushing it. So.
And have you been watching the bean basis very well?
Bean basis? The processors in our area we do keep up on, and you know they've been pretty strong in the low teens, and it seems like they keep grinding and they keep having demand, so you know, we think that that's going to remain pretty strong.
Yeah, and Michael, what are your bids for the day?
At Delphi, we are currently 13 under for July delivery. And, I mean, June and July delivery, so.
All right, thank you so much. And
all right, thank you.
Mm-hmm, that's Michael Strasburger. He's at the Delphi facility that belongs to the Andersons there in Indiana. I'll be back in just a couple of minutes here on the Closing Market Report. We'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's National Applesauce Cake Day. The first references to applesauce appeared in late 14th century Europe. On this day in agricultural history in 1882, Henry Seeley of New York City received the first American patent for an electric iron. He called this device the electric flat iron. It used a carbon arc to create heat, but it was not all that safe. A decade later, hand irons using electrical resistance were introduced by Crompton and Company. In 1899, James Ricks patented a rubber overshoe for horses. The patent says the shoe prevents a horse from slipping in sleety weather and is applied over the horseshoe in common use. The shoe was formed from rubber and canvas and was fastened to the hoof by a strap. And in 1932, the Revenue Act created the first gasoline tax in the U.S., 1 cent per gallon of gas. The 1 cent rate was maintained till just before the U.S. entered World War II, when, as a result of increased national defense requirements, the tax was increased. Prior to the 1932 Act, there had been reluctance on the part of federal officials and Congress to impose the tax at the federal level. Instead, they preferred to relinquish the revenue source to the states to help them finance their revenue needs. By the way, Oregon was the first state to levy a gasoline tax in 1919. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated here to take up the agricultural weather forecast. Drew, there's been some folks that say next week we'll have rain, next week we won't have rain. Which camp do you stand in?
How about we'll get some rain? That's the way we do this in the political arena, you know. We are going to get some rain next week. The midday models came out today and took away some of the rainfall that was advertised earlier this morning, so that's not a good sign necessarily, but it's also the midday model run, which tends to bounce around a little bit more than some of the other runs. So with all that said, we should see a cool front cut through the Midwest during the week next week. Actually, it's going to be Sunday into Tuesday, and during that time period, we'll likely see a band of thunderstorms work their way across the Midwest, and a nice little refreshing shot of cooler air coming back across the region at about the same time. The frontal boundary itself will be slow enough moving that there may be some repetitive thunderstorms embedded within it that could produce some heavy amounts of rain, maybe some local totals getting up over an inch, maybe an inch, inch and a half. But we're talking about localized areas here. The majority of the precipitation is probably going to vary from, we'll say, a quarter to three quarters of an inch as it marches across the Midwest. Every little bit of rain is going to be a help to the region, especially with all the drying that's going to occur between now and when that frontal system arrives. So we'll look for it as being at least a temporary reprieve, but we're going to need greater amounts of rain than this in order to assure that we don't run into more dryness issues down the road.
Can you look out further and say, yes, we have a change in the pattern and there will be more rainfall or not?
I don't think we can really go down that road quite yet. I don't think I see anything that's meaningful as far as changes in the general pattern is concerned. We will see more ridge building as we move into the second half of June across the middle part of the country, and including a portion of the western Corn Belt. And that may not produce a lot of heat for the eastern parts of the Midwest, but it may tend to keep the rainfall intensities below average as each little disturbance comes by. So it's going to make these temperatures really important. If we can keep them as cool as possible in the second half of June and into early July, then we can get going into reproduction with the least amount of possible stress. But I do think we are still going to be running some moisture deficits across the region, so we will be still facing at least some potential for lower yields if things don't work out just right.
Unlike the rest of this calendar year, the June high temperatures haven't been all that hot at this point. Will we stay relatively cool for the month of June?
I think we will probably see quite a bit of variety. It will end up averaging relatively close to normal, probably. We're going to have some more bouts of cool weather. We're going to have some warmer weather as well. And if we go back in time and look at the 18-year cycle that's playing out right now across North America, there are very few occurrences of persistent hot weather in the 18-year cycle years. And we do have a couple of years that are just slightly warmer than normal, but there's no blaring heat that seems to stand out in the old pattern. So that doesn't necessarily mean we will get by without it this year, but when we add in the fact that we may develop into an El Nino a little later in the year, the El Nino will also tend to downplay some of the temperatures across parts of the Midwest, so that will also give us some help there. And plus, we've gone 8 or 9 months now without any real significant cool-off. The temperatures have been warmer than normal for most of that period of time, and just from a statistical point of view, we're due for some correction with some cooler biases around. So I think for all those reasons, we're probably not going to be seeing a summer that's nearly as warm and stressful as it was last year.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. That's the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.